The views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Salem Media of Hawaii.
Welcome to Generations Radio, where the focus is on our seniors and their families. We are here each Saturday afternoon from 5 until 6 p.m., bringing you resourceful information with our radio team of professionals in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore different ways to make life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors, right here on AM 690 The Answer. And now, here is our host and the publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara.
And so happy weekend, Saturday and Sunday, depending on what day you're listening to us. We're Saturday from 5 to 6 if you're listening Saturday. If not, you're probably Sunday, 3 to 4, on here on AM 690 The Answer. And, you know, a couple of years, was it, Leah, 2 years now, they changed the station to call The Answer. About there, yeah. So what we do, is, as you guys know, in a magazine, as a resource magazine, we try to provide a lot of information. We try to vet all the information, by the way, that puts in a magazine. But even our radio show, so we always like to have experts because besides my co-host here, Melissa, who's a gerontologist, I am not an expert. I'm just a mortgage guy that loves working with seniors,
But you have a lot of experience with seniors, so yeah, you're an honorary gerontologist.
Well, I told you how why I took over the magazine, right? It was that all my senior clients would call me.
Right.
Like almost every day.
Mm-hmm.
How about this? How about this? In fact, it was got to the point where they would call me, I just bought a new Toyota. Where can I get those waterproof cushions on the car?
The Wetacole.
Oh, Toyota.
Yeah.
Well, it's a new 2016 Toyota, and they don't make them yet. Well, you're going to have to wait a little while, but, you know, there's a couple of Wet Seal, right?
Mm-hmm.
That Wet Seal place.
The Wetacole.
Wetacole, that's a great place,
yes.
By the way. Not to promote them, but that's a great product. But I think it's really important that we provide a lot of good information and bring on experts in the field. So, Melissa, you want to introduce our guest who I just met last week?
Absolutely. I am very honored to introduce you. I did a little bit of background before you came out to Hawaii. So, this is Dr. Do you go by Peggy or is it Margaret?
I go by both.
Okay. Yeah. So Dr. Margaret
Perkinson.
Perkinson.
Yes.
And also known as Peggy. So welcome to the show. I'm very excited that you're here. Nice to finally get to talk to you.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here. Thank you for the opportunity to be on your show.
Oh, you're welcome. Our pleasure.
And so where you came from, Colorado?
No, from St. Louis.
Oh, St. Louis.
Missouri.
Missouri. Wow. So you're a Cardinals fan?
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
and Colton Wong. Absolutely Colton Wong.
Hopefully he gets more playing time this year. I don't know. Maybe you know better than I do. But he kind of fell off last year, and then he didn't even play much, yeah?
Right, yeah. Well.
Oh, your husband here.
He's
the
expert.
After the show.
Yeah, he actually has a Colton Wong teacher.
Really? So do we. So if you've been in education for many years, but give us a little bit about your background.
Oh, okay. I started in gerontology very early in my career, you know, when I was, it was back over 35 years ago, you know, and actually I was at University of Missouri working on a degree in anthropology and just happened to be very, very fortunate to be at the right place at the right time. University of Missouri in Columbia had a huge center on aging. And back then, AOA was providing funding for people to get into the field. And so I was able to take lots of courses. I got involved in a research project and just really fell in love with the field, you know, just really found it very exciting and satisfying on so many different levels. And so then I went on to the University of California, San Francisco for the PhD in human development and aging. And then on to Chicago, where I taught at Loyola, Philadelphia, where I worked for 8 years at the Philadelphia Geriatric Center in a research institute, University of Missouri, Kansas City, and then back to St. Louis, where I taught in Washington University in St. Louis and St. Louis University. And in both of those universities, I was on the faculty of occupational therapy departments, teaching gerontology and research methods. So that was very interesting. You know, so I've been exposed to very academic and research oriented organizations or environments, but also, you know, really clinically applied programs too. You know, so I feel like I have a pretty diverse background.
Absolutely. I would say you do. No, that's great. I liked how you said you kind of fell into it, because I was the same with me. You know, my undergrad is corporate communication, and I started the home care division with my past employer, and it was something that it's like all of a sudden it just, it's like a wildfire. You take one class and you learn, and then it's just from there you're like, what else can I learn? And because you can not only help society now, but you can also see yourself further down the line.
Right, exactly. Yeah, my first course in gerontology was taught, it was a general survey course, but it was taught by a demographer, Donald Kogel, who's well known in the field. But anyway, I mean, I had no idea that demography would lure me into this field, but just looking at the numbers, and this was way back in the 70s, we could see way back then, this is going to be coming up down the line, you know, and it's a field that really has so much promise, you know, so many areas to be addressed, you know. And
so much growth.
So
much opportunity.
Oh, absolutely. And then, you know, as I said, I just looked into this research project and I thought, oh, I'll learn about research methods. But then I started, you know, we had these very in-depth two-hour interviews with hundreds of older adults in Missouri. And I mean, I just found that so fascinating, you know, just that whole interaction with older adults and finding, you know, just all different dimensions of their lives and what issues they were confronting. So, I mean, that really clinched it, you know, for me.
Yeah, no, I agree. I had the stories that you hear and you learn, and you're constantly learning from them and how you can improve your own life.
Yeah.
Have you looked at the numbers of Hawaii and where we stand in terms of all these other issues of demographics?
Oh, well, Hawaii is on the cutting edge. You know, the state has the longest life expectancy of any state, you know, and the highest percentage of older adults. So, you know, there's a great challenge, but also a great opportunity.
Well, like our show last week, we got to get the governor to understand this has to be put up on his top 10 priority list. I don't think it's on the top 10. Because as we talked about last week, it's a snowball. That's, you know, not, we don't have snowball. Actually, we do have snowballs in Hawaii. You know that, right?
Sandballs. They're sand.
No, we have snowballs
Mauna Kea.
Here.
Oh,
Mauna Kea. You know, people ski up there, right?
But no, I see the kids with the sandballs throwing them on the beach.
But they fall apart. Ours is not going to fall apart. They're going to grow and grow and grow. And goes down the hill, it's going to go faster and faster and faster. And, you know, if you look at the numbers today, this ball is not going to stop for probably another 20 years.
Oh, it's not stopping, period. Yeah.
And
really.
Where do we go? I tell people when they call me about financing long-term care or the problems that, you know, if your mom has Alzheimer's, like last week's show, Darlene, you know, it doesn't get any better.
Yeah.
Everybody I talked to, including my relatives, it doesn't get any better. It only gets worse. You know, there are some drugs that may, depending on their health, it may help a little bit, but it's not going to get any better. And it's just a long haul. And it's really something that I think we got to get grips with, because I don't know about, I've talked to a couple of senators before that this cost of care is going to grow and grow. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And where is that money going to, we're going to have to take money from other, including education, because unless you want to see, you know, homeless seniors out on the street, what you think now is bad, wait 10 years from now.
Yeah.
I mean, 5 to 10 years from now. So, so what other kind of research do you think that you found for Hawaii that we really need to start looking at besides caregiving?
Oh, well, you know, caregiving is really, my area of research anyway, family caregiving, especially for persons with dementia. But I mean, there are just all sorts of areas to look into. I mean, just aging permeates every aspect of society, you know. So, I mean, maybe areas that you might not necessarily initially think of, certainly health issues, you know, we need to address, you know, when there were fewer older adults. I mean, hospitals initially were built to address acute care kinds of episodes. You know, they were short, curable, you know, and done with. But now, you know, with an older population, you have chronic conditions, and it calls for an entirely different kind of healthcare system, you know, much more community-based, much more less on curing and more on promoting quality of life and helping people to continue to be engaged in meaningful activities, even while they have their various chronic conditions. So, you know, we need to investigate all of that. You know, what are people encountering in their daily lives, and how can we encourage them or enable them to maintain a high standard of living, you know, even with, you know, Parkinson's or dementia. You know, these are people that should not be written off. I mean, you can definitely enhance their environment, both physical and social and cultural, to be supportive and allow them to continue doing what they want to do. But then, as I started to say too, that aging permeates all aspects of society. So in business, you know, like businesses are going to be encountering more and more older consumers. You know, what are their needs and interests? How can they adapt business practices to better accommodate older consumers? You know, like tourism, huge. There's a movement in gerontology, you know, the age-friendly movement, which I'm sure you've heard of. You know, and, you know, I think we should not just think about age-friendly transportation or age-friendly housing, which are certainly important, but also age-friendly tourism.
Right.
You know, Hawaii could be on the cutting edge in that regard, you know, and how to enable intergenerational positive experiences in tourism. So, I mean, there are all sorts of questions we can address.
Yeah, it's well, I'm sure you've been to the American Society on Aging conference every year. Last year was in D.C. Actually, Melissa's going to be going next month to the one in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I can't go in because I'm taking my son to the baseball spring training, by the way. we're going to be going to Arizona for a week. But some of the other research that you've done, I know you have an extensive background. Can you kind of tell us a little bit more, some of the other research, other states, other countries about what we're seeing? Because people in Hawaii think it's only in Hawaii. It's worldwide.
Everywhere. Right? Yeah. It's really everywhere. And if you look at the statistics, I mean, now, yeah, there's one graphic. I wish we could, like, portray it over the radio. But it's like the number of people under age 5 worldwide and the number of people over 65 worldwide. And it used to be, you know, the 5-year-old and under were way up here and older people were way down there. Now it's crossed and, you know, there are going to be so many more over 65-year-olds than 5-year-old and under. And that's just not going to change. I mean, this is not just a temporary situation. It's like the demographic changes that are in place, it's not going to change. And we're seeing that throughout the world. You know, so I'm the editor of a journal, the Journal of Cross-Cultural Gerontology. Mm. You know, so I receive manuscripts all the time, you know, like people writing about aging in all these different countries. My husband and I have been involved in some of this. I helped to start a field school in Guatemala for anthropology and occupational therapy graduate students. And I was the director of the gerontology component. So I would take my students to what was called a hogar. It was a home for older adults. Mm-hmm. And in Guatemala, really, they have very little in terms of residential care or services for older adults. So this was run by a woman who just had a big heart and wanted to do this. So, you know, we worked with, we developed programs for those residents. But then the other international experience we had was in China. And my husband was invited to develop the policies and procedures for a continuing care retirement community for over 7,000 residents.
Wow.
7,000.
Wow. Yes, it's huge. Usually in the U.S., maybe 300, 400, you know. So, I mean, this was a city unto itself. And, you know, there were no, I mean, like in the U.S., we have all these standards and regulations that kind of guide you in what you should be doing. And, I mean, he was basically starting from scratch, you know, and so I was there. We spent you know, maybe about 4 months in China at this one spot. And I could see that the people, the staff coming in to work at this place were from hotel industry backgrounds with no training in gerontology. So, you know, I just like gave them gerontology 101 class, you know, and this was not just for administrators, it was and healthcare people, it was for everyone, you know, like the maintenance people, security people, food service people, everyone took that class, you know, once a week for an hour after work. And it was really interesting because I mean, people really wanted to learn, you know, right. And, you know, I gave them just basic gerontological information, but then I made it very applied, you know, and said, okay, this is, you know, these are the kinds of changes that occur in an older adult in terms of vision or in terms of energy or whatever. But then pushed it on and said, okay, with given this information, how can you use it on your job? You know, to improve the quality of the people who are going to live here. And just one example, like the security guards would be out in the parking lot, you know, just standing there all day, you know, just kind of supervising. But if they had training on falls, right. Fall prevention, you know, and how to safely get in and out of cars, you know, wow, that would be tremendous. And so, you know, that's what we did in that class was provide, you know, the basic information and then how to apply it. And then maybe we sometimes role played too, you know, like what do you do if someone falls on the floor? you know, how do you help them? So, I mean, the whole experience in China was very interesting. And that's huge there, you know, because given the one child policy, you know, the family supports are really diminishing. Right. You know, you have the 4-2-1 family structure with four grandparents, two parents, and then the one kid, grandchild.
One boy grandchild,
yeah.
Grandson, right?
Right, which, right.
As we know, they don't really take care of their parents. It's normally the daughters that are the ones that, you know, normally take care of the loved ones, the kapuna.
Yeah.
But so have you met with the governor yet? Because, I mean, what you're telling me now, we need to tape this. We're going to, well, we do tape these. we put on our website, but I know you met with some senators.
Yes, I did.
And I think we really need to get them educated because just in this 10 minutes you've been talking to me, I'm pretty knowledgeable, but it's so impactful coming from an expert like yourself that sees it from, you know, your husband see it from different places, especially like China. I mean, you look at Japan.
Right.
You know, in fact, University of Hawaii did a study about 6-7 years ago, Dr. BJ Kim, I believe, on the demographics in Japan, what's going on there, and Korea, and we're like 10 years behind that. And that's 30% of the population going to be over, what, 65?
Yeah, that's huge.
And it's something that we need to start preparing for because Japan's struggling, you know, especially in Korea, too, where a lot of kids move away.
Yes, you know? Yeah.
Or they live in rural parts of the country, you know?
Yeah, so. And this is, you know, as an anthropologist, I look at this of the larger perspective. I mean, never before in the history of our human species have so many people lived for so long. You know, as recently as 1900, we had about 3-4% of the population over 65. You know, it just, there weren't that many people living so old. So people typically died before, while they were working, so few people had retirement experiences. And for married couples, the husband typically died before the oldest child left home. So there was no empty nest
syndrome.
I mean, there's a whole new stage of life, you know, that people are encountering. And, you know, we keep talking about older adults and aging and kind of negative terms and, you know, like what are the problems and so on. And certainly they're huge. But also it's an opportunity. I mean, there are a lot of very vital people, you know, who could be continuing to contribute to society, you know, if they had avenues to do so. So I think that's another really, really important issue. And certainly it's an issue that's being addressed more and more in the field of gerontology, the professional field, looking at what they call successful aging or resilience in aging. We're sponsoring a series of conferences at UH on healthy aging and resilience.
Oh, yeah. Is it open to the public?
Yes, yes, yes.
Let us know.
Yes, of course. I mean, you were at the last one.
Right.
Yeah.
We should have made a webinar out of that. HPGS, the Hawaii Pacific Gerontological Society, we just set up our webinar program, and it can have at least up to 500 people.
Oh, goodness.
So we're going to open it up to the public as well.
Fantastic.
So if you go to hpgs.org, it should be on there. If not, our newsletter goes out. We need to make sure you're on our newsletter list.
Yeah.
Our newsletter just went out last week that talks about that. Because this month, next week, Thursday, we'll be talking about adult day centers.
Oh, wow.
So we're having the local president of the association, Kathy Wyatt, come and talk about that.
Interesting.
But we need one of the things I want to do in with your help and with EOA and EAD and ARP is to have we never really had a real big summit on aging.
Ooh.
That's one of the things that it's hard to get everybody together.
Uh-huh.
So Peggy's here writing down notes. I don't want to fill your plate just yet.
Yeah,
because
you just
our
arrived.
Space is
pretty
full.
I've been here 6 weeks.
But I want
to
get acclimated. But it's one of the things that, our previous governor, Governor Abercrombie, one thing I did appreciate, that there was an Alzheimer's summit they did at the Hilton Hawaiian Village.
Ooh.
We had a couple hundred people there, and he came and spoke about the issue of Alzheimer's. And it really got, and he was pretty energetic and excited about this, and it kind of got us going a little bit. Of course, he didn't win the re-election, but this governor now, bless his heart, he's doing a great job. I think he's doing a great job, but he's got so many other issues ahead of aging.
Right, yeah.
And we got to find a way to make him realize at some point as the ball rolls down the hill and gets bigger and bigger, we're not going to be able to stop it. And, we have one of the greatest Medicaid MedQuest programs in the country, but we can't continue to spend more and more money every year where it's going to be, 50% right now for Department of Human Services. It's just going to get out of the hand, and we've got to find a way to be proactive. That's why the Kupuna Caregivers Bill, I think, is a small start. But I did want to tell you, if you guys are listening out there, is that one of the greatest things that I found was about 7 years ago, there was a documentary made called The Graying of Hawaii. Have you heard about that?
No.
Google it, The Graying of Hawaii.
Okay.
And it's about an hour and half, hour, 45 minutes. Maybe I think it's split into two 50-minute segments. But it talks about all these issues we're talking today. And this was filmed 7 years ago, 8 years ago. It was done over a two-year period. And give you a good example. One of the things they brought up was that Hawaii, the national average back then was 46 beds per 1,000 people. We have less than half of that. We only have 22 beds per 1,000 people.
Wow.
That's scary.
Yes.
But also, in some ways, we really want to help people stay at home, age in place as much as possible. So definitely we need residential care facilities, but we also need community-based services that enable people to stay where they want to stay.
Yeah. Well, now I have to invite you to be one of our keynote speakers I do an aging in place workshop every year.
Oh my goodness.
August 19th is at the Ala Moana Hotel, and we're up to about 1,600 people that come, the public come. And we have pretty much all caregivers looking for resources. I mean, I saw a guy, he must have been about 75 with a walker. And he was looking all around. I said, how can I help you? He goes, I'm looking for some resources. I was, what do you need? He goes, no, it's not for me.
I know.
That's right. Yes.
It shocked me. Like, it's for my father. Right. Your father, you can barely walk, sir. Mm-hmm. He goes, oh, well, who else is going to do it?
Right.
And this was like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I have a number of my friends in their 70s. Their parents are still alive. And they're the only people around.
Right.
So it's August 19th. And we'll get back to you on that.
Oh,
but
please.
So we talked about the bigger picture. We're going to talk the second half of the show. We're going to talk about the Center on Aging, but so what have you start cultivating some things to start thinking about for the coming year, some ideas. What do you see since you've only been here 6 weeks? What have you seen about Hawaii's aging population?
It's kind of dazzling, everything that's here. So many resources are here.
We do, but we it's hard to find sometimes.
Uh-huh,
that's why we try to cover them in a magazine.
Yeah. And your magazine is such a great resource.
Thank you.
I love your magazine. In terms of the University of Hawaii, there are so many really, really good gerontologists, but people are kind of working separately, in their own departments. And so I see the a really important first step for the Center on Aging is to just identify all those people, bring us all together, you know, working as a cohesive group, you know, and helping to address some of these community issues, you know, in an interdisciplinary way. Because as you well know, gerontology is very interdisciplinary. It's very complex. You need the perspectives of
many different
people. So that I really want to do. And then, you know, like for education, I mean, my first few weeks here, I've tried to get out in the community and meet the people who are doing, you know, in the trenches. And I keep hearing the same things, you know, that we really need education for our staff people, our administrators. So we're really trying to think, you know, what kinds of educational offerings that we can put out there. You know, we had an idea of in the past years, there was a certificate on aging,
right.
You know, both undergraduate and graduate level. And those were focused mostly on students, you know, developing professionals for the field. But, you know, now we're starting to, and we do want to continue with that. But also, you know, we want to offer, you know, educational training for people out in the field, you know, just either continuing education or a different type of certificate to keep people up to date. You know, and to give them training that they may have missed. You know,
they don't know where to go.
Kapalani Community College just called me yesterday. They have some kapuna education programs over there. They're working on right now. We have a new director, I told him I'll help them out and get it going. But I think it's something that we want to do for the public.
Absolutely.
But anyway, we're gonna take a short break. We're here with Peggy Perkinson from the Center on Aging at the University of Hawaii. Talking about the big picture on aging, but really some of the things that we can do locally. And Peggy, with your background, a lot of great stuff to do, a lot of great stuff to come. So I appreciate your time here. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
We will be right back with Percy Ihara from Generations Radio. If you have any questions or want to be part of our discussion, give us a call at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. This is Generations Radio on AM 690, The Answer.
Moon Physical Therapy is here to help you back to recovery. Moon Physical Therapy is located on Ward Avenue across from Sports Authority. Physician prescribed for motor vehicle accidents, workman's comp, or that body pain that comes from rushing to play without warming up. Also, event cardiopulmonary rehabilitation with our one-on-one patient care. Moon's aquatherapy heated endless pool allows for low-impact exercise with less pain on land. We will give you the right exercises to get you back to health. Ask your doctor to prescribe Moon Physical Therapy. Moon Physical Therapy. We achieve results.
Aloha, this is Martha Clopin.
And Al Harrington. Choosing the right Medicare plan not only saves you money, it also helps you avoid headaches and heartaches down the road.
We want to remind everyone
to listen to a Medicare Moment with Martha, Sundays from 9:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. as we help answer important questions on Medicare so you can stay healthy, wealthy, and wise all year long.
Call me at 543-2073. 543-2073.
The name to remember for primary health care in Hawaii is Dr. Jeffrey Lin, board-certified family physician with over 20 years' experience and a special interest in taking care of senior citizens. He's now located in the Kuakini Medical Plaza. And from now to the end of March, Dr. Lin is offering free flu shots to protect you and your family this flu season. To schedule an appointment, please call 824-0411 or log into mdhonolulu.com. Dr. Jeffrey Lin. Healthcare for the whole family at mdhonolulu.com.
I was an addict from the age of 13. I finally decided it was time for a change. I walked into the Salvation Army Adult Rehabilitation Center, and that got me ready for the real world. Now, I choose to be guided by Jesus Christ, and today, I'm building a powerful and promising future, free from drugs and alcohol.
Please shop at the Salvation Army Family Stores. With our discounted sales, your support through your purchase helps men live a clean, sober, and productive life.
Got Vegas on your mind? Get Vacations Hawaii on the line. Vacations Hawaii offers weekly 4 and 5 night Honolulu to Vegas packages, which include 3 meals daily from $6.99. Stay at Hawaii's favorite casinos, California, Fremont, Main Street Station, and Orleans Hotel. Vacations Hawaii will get you there in comfort on deluxe wide-body 767 planes with complimentary in-flight hot meal service. Vacations Hawaii's frequent flyer program gives you future travel discounts and credits. So if you're ready to win big, call Vacations Hawaii at 591-4777 or visit pointvacationshawaii.com.
Today, more than ever, we local people are living longer than any other state in the union, with more seniors, baby boomers, and caregivers. Generations Radio promotes the importance to be proactive as we all age. The radio team will focus on issues facing our seniors and their families, finding resources to navigate healthy aging along with financial, legal, and caregiving information. So join Percy E. Hauer from 5 until 6 each Saturday, right here on AM 690, The Answer. Focusing on the issues facing our seniors and their families today. Here's our Generations Radio host, Percy Ihara.
And welcome back to Generations Radio. I'm here with my co-host, Melissa Mansfield. Now with Kahala Nui.
Yes.
The five-star luxury.
It is an amazing place to work. The people are wonderful. The residents are amazing. You know, I've been there, been volunteering there for 2 years, and so just recently obtained the director of AL and memory support. So I get to
see AL?
Assisted living.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
and see, so a lot of people don't know that. I mean,
that's true. Sorry, all these little acronyms. So yeah, director of assisted living and memory support. So the residents
Kahala Nui.
At Kahala Nui,
where the food is unbelievable.
The environment is unbelievable. The food is unbelievable. The people are unbelievable. I kind of feel like I'm in a dream. Have to pinch myself when I walk in there because it's just fabulous.
I don't
think
I could live there, you know?
I could live there. Really? I actually, you know, here I am 43 and I said, can I move in? And they're like, no.
Well, I do actually want to go to a place like that. Just, I can't wear pants at dinner and lunch.
That's true.
You have to wear pants at dinner and lunch. I had a meeting with one of the executives over there and I came with a nice polo shirt and nice golf shorts. I mean, pants that were really nice. And he goes, oh, I'm sorry, sir. He looked at me like, yes? You can't wear shorts in there. I said, oh, really? He did let me go, but I had to sit in the corner.
Oh, no. Hiding.
Away from them. Because, you know, because if their guests or members come in, they'd see me in shorts saying, oh, wow. But anyway.
You know, it could change. I think as the baby boomer generation, they buy into those CCRCs. Everyone's going to have to bend and change, and rules are going to have to be loosened up.
I don't
up.
Think it's Kahala Nui.
No?
Nothing against Kahala Nui, but they have a certain clientele. You know,
but even the baby boomers, you know, they're kind of more of the hippie generation. They want to, they change the world, right? But I'm sure they can change some regulations.
Yeah, but, you know, it's only going to take one person to really put their foot down. They may be 103 years old.
Oh, that's true.
And I don't blame them. I mean, I mean.
It's a very nice facility.
Oh, it's I don't know if you've seen those taking on the mainland, but they're that's a 5-star hotel.
Oh,
yeah. Kahala Nui. You been there yet?
Yes, I have.
Oh.
It's like a resort.
You put your reservation in yet?
Yeah.
I've thought about it.
By the way, so Melissa, we always want to make sure that people find us where?
On Facebook. So go to our Facebook page and like us.
Generation Magazine. Just search that. And they can also go to YouTube channel and search us there because we have all our shows on YouTube channel. Go to Generations Magazine. You can actually, I think, subscribe, which is free. And you get all the shows there from
past
a year
shows.
And a half ago. And even with, by the way, our Generations 808 website, they can go through all the past issues and they can see it from the very first issue that we did in 7 years ago. It's hard to believe. Seven years.
Wow.
Yeah. And
well, we have we have events around town. We have the Kupuna Caucus, which is the first Friday of the month, and that is at the state capitol, room 325. Also, Kukua Council, which is the last Monday of the month, and that's Harris United Methodist Church. You can also go to kukuacouncil.org.
But that's at 11:30 to 1.
11:30 to 1, and they have yummy food. Normally, they have...
Oh, $5. Can't beat that.
Yeah, can't. Cheap eats, right?
Well, what's really good is that you're around other advocates. They have great speakers. I don't... Peggy might want to probably get you to speak to that group.
Yeah, legislators, nonprofits, for-profits, just all kind of like the masters of the minds. We all come together.
Yeah. But that one has more the public there. The Kupuna Caucus, which is the first Friday of the month, is more of the advocate, more of the agencies, some politicians. Yeah. Well, that's one thing. We got to get more politicians there to educate them. But
absolutely. I am on Kapuna Caucus.
Are you going to be speaking?
I'm going to be attending regularly.
Okay.
So we'll be giving reports.
One of the things that we've been trying, what I've been trying to do is network with our Hawaii Pacific Gerontological Society and trying to educate them, because like I said, there's a lot of silos and nothing, there's nothing bad. It's just that we need to be educated on all the different issues. And so next week, Thursday, we have the webinar on adult day centers. And because a lot of people didn't know that that's a growing need, growing area, but also the cost is, to me, for $55 to $70 a day, including two meals typically, breakfast or light breakfast and
activities
lunch.
Activities all day long.
For the whole day versus paying somebody $22 to $25 an hour,
right.
You know, care for them. But it's just something that we're trying to educate all the professionals in the field. So last year, we averaged about 80 to 85 a tent. And we just started it last year. And so we're up to about 80, 85. And so in this year, we're very optimistic. So we bought a program that allows 500 people to attend.
Wow.
What's good about it, what you might want to do is that because we have neighbor islands, they can't really fly over for meetings. So we have a growing number of people from the neighbor islands tuning in.
Wow.
And so hopefully in a month, we'll get that uploaded to our YouTube channel as well. So like if they miss it, they can go back to the YouTube channel and listen to the show again. Wow. Because it's going to be with a video too this time.
Oh, fantastic.
So, but yeah, let us know if we can help you with that. So we're here with Peggy. Did I cover everything?
Yes, I think. Okay. No, the Aging Well segment.
Oh, which KITV is set, News.
Yeah, KITV, which is Saturday morning. What time does it start? I know that.
About 7:45 o'clock. Okay. We have to get Peggy on there. Because
yes.
What we do is the KITV, we partner with the magazine to bring on guests to talk about aging issues. Mm-hmm. And it's really important because besides KHON, what they have there is it's every other Friday and Saturday. There aren't too many public venues that you can see on TV. So TV is one of the greatest ways to promote aging. So we talk about different stories going on. Actually, this weekend, it'll be tomorrow morning, if you want to watch it on KITV Channel 4, is Dr. Oz has a segment on aging.
Oh.
But in the coming weeks, we'll talk about caregiving. We talk about, we'll have you on the show. I'll get you on the show there. But just different things on Alzheimer's, the healthy living, death with dignity. Mm-hmm. In fact, I asked you earlier if it was okay. Could you comment on that, Bill, by the way? Because they were here a couple weeks ago.
Right.
Compassion and Choices, and we're talking about the Death with Dignity bill. Have you done some research on that? Do you have a
opinion?
That really is not quite my area, and I'm not as familiar with that bill as I should be. But certainly, it's a hugely important issue. You know, death in our society, at least, is kind of like denied and.
Yeah.
Pushed away in the corner, in the closet, and, you know, it's very sad. You know, people, you know, often die alone in their hospital room, you know, and it's really, you know, a significant event of life, you know, and a significant event for everyone involved. You know, so, yeah, I mean, I don't want to get too personal, but I just think of an example. My aunt, who just was such a good model for dying. You know, she found out she had cancer and had 3 months to live, or 3 weeks to live. Oh. I mean, it was really short. And so, I mean, like everyone, we have a huge family, so everyone would come over and talk to her and, you know, share stories. And then at the end, you know, she died at home. She died surrounded by her children. Her children were singing to her as she died. You know, I mean, it was just a really peaceful.
That's the way
death,
to do it.
You know? Yeah. Right.
Well, I'll be playing my Earth, Wind, and Fire music with my favorite band. At a funeral will be Earth, Wind, and Fire. You'll be required to dance a couple songs. But yeah, I mean, that's just something. I think at least I was talking to a couple senators last week about, you know, the main thing is we have a choice.
Right.
I mean, the opposition has various different reasons why it's not good, you know, but I think choice is very important today.
And I think the main part was just to not be in pain.
Oh,
that was
yes.
the majority of why they were, you know, pushing for this. Just so we are, you know, and some people are allergic to morphine, you know, so, I mean, they don't have the option. So, you know, I think that's just as important, just not to be in pain.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's hugely. I mean, that's the philosophy of hospice, you know, to keep people comfortable, mm-hmm. you know, and you know, so kind of like, so what if some of these drugs are habit forming? This right. person is dying, you know. So mm-hmm. you know, those kinds of restrictions shouldn't mm-hmm. be taken into consideration.
Yeah. Anyway, we're here with Peggy Perkinson, our new Center on Aging, Director of Center on Aging. So what's going on? I mean, we haven't had a permanent director. I mean, we had a great interim director, Christy Nishida, but so we have a permanent one now.
Yeah. And, well, actually, we had Tony Lunzer.
Oh, Tony
also.
Lunzer. Oh,
sure.
My great friend, Tony Lunzer.
Can't forget him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's still going on. He's
oh
still
gosh,
on our
yes.
board, by the way,
yeah.
for HPGS. And uh-huh. he, you know, I don't want to say how old he is, but he's his mind is just. I mean, he'll call me almost once a week. You know, we talk about things going on in Hawaii. Uh-huh. What about this? And how can we do this? And I said, okay, Tony. he wears me out sometimes, but yeah. he's a yeah. great guy, and he's yeah. still moving. And
yeah.
He's such. And he was one of the co-founders of HPGS, and I believe it was cool. started in 1979, I believe. So we're trying to really get it moving again. But the Center on Aging, can you give us a little background on what you guys are doing over there or the future of the Center on Aging?
Sure. Well, you know, this is a step, you know, that we now have a permanent director. So
yes.
A lot rests, I guess, on my shoulders. But there, as I said, there are a huge number of really, really gifted, brilliant gerontologists at the university. You know, and previous directors also include Catherine Braun.
Right.
And Colette Brown, you know, who are both very, very well-respected gerontologists, well-known internationally. So we've got really good people. We have this phenomenal legal elder program, mm-hmm. You know, just and people in sociology, people in nursing. I mean, it's just all different disciplines. So it'll be an exciting time to bring people together. And I think I've mentioned we have basically three prongs for the center, you know, research, education, and, you know, practice or assisting community kinds of issues. In terms of research, you know, we have a huge history of, you know, really important publications and presentations on Hawaiian aging. And very little has been done on older adults in Hawaii other than by people from the University of Hawaii, you know, like Catherine Braun and Colette mm-hmm. Brown, you know, have been just really leading the way there. So, you know, we want to continue that that line of research. In terms of education, you know, I mean, there's all sorts of research we could do. In terms of education, as I've mentioned, we want to do those certificate programs, you know, both for students and also.
Would that be a 4-year or 2-year or 1-year? You know, some colleges have some kind of certificate for 1 year. Is that correct?
That's a very good question. It depends on how students can integrate it with their regular master's, because at this point, it wouldn't be a major. You know, it would be a certificate.
Sure.
And it's very fortunate. I've been involved with the Association for Gerontology in Higher Education, AGHE, mm-hmm. For years. And they, you know, they're the primary professional organization for gerontological education. And they just came out with their standards and guidelines. Most recent standards and guidelines for gerontology programs, including certificate programs. So, I mean, they have very well-structured recommendations on how to do this. You know, typically it takes 2 years, you know, but that's integrated with the other courses that students are taking. And then also, as I said, we'd like to provide more kinds of educational opportunities for people out in the field, working in the field. And, you know, people may not need something as structured and as extensive as a certificate. You know, I think continuing education
credits,
is
yeah.
a lot more flexible, and we could really individualize it more. You know, individualized workshops on topics, you know, that have been identified by the community as really important. You know, there are all sorts of ways of training, as you're doing with your webinars. I really want to expand our social media presence. We right now we do not have a website, which we need to do. We have a website. We don't have a Facebook page. So I really want to expand the website. When you're talking about all these different events going on, I mean, I would love to post those, you know, on the website to be, you know, like a source of information.
We partner with UH, I think it's English department. Here's a tip. We have an intern that posts for us 3 to 4 days a week, Miss Shayna.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's like 21, 22. She's graduating in April, May this year. And she's just a whiz. I asked her last week, how do you know so much? She knows about WordPress. She can do some stuff on a website. She's going to write. She wrote for the magazine, by the way. Mm-hmm. She wrote an article about Parkinson's because her grandfather has Parkinson's.
Uh-huh.
So she did some research on that. And she can do that. She can write. She can edit. She posts from Facebook. I said, God, how do you know all this stuff? Oh, it's kind of easy.
Well, that generation,
that might be something to find. It'd be this easy to post. You just got, all I do is tell her what to do, what to post, and then she just does it.
Yeah.
And then she can post. And it doesn't take very long. All she does is spend about half an hour once a week because you can post it but not have it put out to the public, into the world until an alarm goes off and it clicks and goes on. So she posts it once a week, and then she can delay the posting until when that date. So Monday, I believe Monday, Wednesday, and Friday we post.
Wow.
That's great. Wow. Because social media is.
We need to do that.
A majority of the Facebook people are baby boomers.
Mm-hmm. Yes, right. That's where they get their information.
Yeah.
Well, baby boomers, maybe, and, you know, millennial
Generation
students.
X and Y, so all of them. That's how we get our news. And, you know, it's kind of weird. We go to Facebook. You know,
right. Yeah.
So you had mentioned the educational piece, which I think is extremely important. I mean, I always say we have to create our workforce.
Yes.
So what are we doing to create more caregivers so we could have them out in the workforce, out in the field? How do we?
Okay. Well, actually, we have an event coming up that addresses your question.
Perfect.
The Career Day on Aging. Which will be Tuesday, March 14th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at University of Hawaii's Campus Center Ballroom. And that's 2500 Campus Road. So this is an event. Usually, I mean, we've extended the time. Excuse me. I think in the past it's been 2 hours, and now it's 4 hours, which allows more people to engage in this. We have a number of vendors. There may be some slots still open if anyone's interested in getting involved in this.
Absolutely.
What time is that from?
It's from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on March 14th.
Is that the one we're doing?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the one. You're coming.
HPGS is partnering with
Yes. Oh, yes. Christy. Of course. I should have mentioned that.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, they're major partners. And all the proceeds will go to scholarships for students in aging, you know, to be, you know, given out by HPGS.
Yeah. Well, and we're taking it one further than that. We're doing a job fair to the public because the one at UH on March 14th is for students primarily because it's on campus, but it's open to the public.
Yeah.
But because it's on campus, in the last couple of years, we only got mainly students. It's grown though.
Okay.
But on what's the date? Do you remember that date?
It is July the 15th at Catholic Charities of Hawaii.
Yeah, they have right on. It's on the corner of Keomoku and Nehoa, near Roosevelt High School. But Catholic Charities has a big hall, and we're going to have exhibitors there, people that are in an aging field, and it's been open to the public.
Great.
So we're going to get it out through the media to get people there. Hopefully, we're going to get a couple hundred people there. Hopefully, our goal for our vendor or exhibitors is, 20 or 30 people?
Right, it was companies. 30, right?
Yeah. That's kind of our goal, too, I think.
Yeah,
maybe at least 20.
It is.
Yeah. And, I mean, this is for students, but not just UH students. It's students in other universities and colleges and also high school
students.
All
the other campuses, yes.
And also just anyone looking for a job.
Yeah.
So it's open to people. We've tried to really present the field as very diverse. You know, we're trying to get representatives from finance, banking and finance and real estate and law and you know, not just healthcare, although healthcare certainly is an important component. And we will have representatives from the campus career center to give career counseling and help on resumes. You know, so it's the intent is to really be a support and source of information.
And promote aging because we need more and more people in our field.
Yes.
You know, about 6 months ago, we had a head of nursing on University of Hawaii on the show. And one fact, and I still remember it to this day, I don't remember that, Melissa, that 60% of all the nurses in Hawaii
will be retired.
Are over 60.
Wow. I guess I'm not surprised.
Another 10 to 15% are over 50. So in 15 years, about 70 to 75% of all the nurses in this state of Hawaii will have got retired.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that scary?
That is scary.
So, I always tell people, especially couples, when I do a workshop where I talk to the counselor, I said, be nice to your wife. Be nice to your wife because, you know, they look at me kind of strange because they don't want me pushing your wheelchair.
Right.
You know? And I always joke with my dad because my dad makes 90 next year.
Wow.
I tell people, you're going to get up in the morning and say, I'm 90 years old. Mom, can you make me Portuguese eggs and rice? And my mom's going to say, no, what did the doctor say? Eat oatmeal. Guess what you're going to eat? You're going to eat oatmeal. You know, and it's so funny, but it's very true.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's very true.
Yeah. As we were mentioning before, like 80% of long-term care for older adults is provided by family members. So, I mean, they're the pillar. You know, the whole healthcare system depends on family caregivers, you know, being there. So, you know, most of my research, as I said, has focused on that and really focus on trying to develop programs and evaluate them to encourage family members to develop partnership relationships with healthcare providers. So for families whose relative is in the nursing home, you know, how to enable them to continue in the caregiving role within that setting, you know, because, I mean, when you look, if you spend time in a nursing home, you see, you know, a lot of either family members don't show up or else they come every day, you know, and, you know, they want to be involved, but they don't know how, you know. So the research project I did that was funded by AARP was, you know, just looking at what did the family members want to do? What did the staff want them to do? You know, and I put together a guide for family member, a family guide to the nursing home, and then gave it to them and, you know, just saw, evaluated, you know, those who got it and those who didn't and how they compared after 3 months. And, you know, it had an impact, you know, it really changed their relationship with their family member and with the staff. So, you know, a lot of times families don't know, they don't know the time schedule, simple time schedules.
Or when they eat. Or,
yeah,
you know, when is it appropriate to come? Maybe they don't want to, you know, she's going to get a bath or, you know, those type of things. And also sometimes they just don't feel comfortable in those settings.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. They don't know what they are allowed to do.
Right.
The other component of that research was looking at family members and home care providers and how to encourage partnerships with them, that what the family could tell the healthcare provider about their relative, you know, in terms of preferences and so on. You know, and then finally on exercise and dementia is a big thing of mine. So developing family supervised programs.
Oh, great.
For
exercise. I think you're going to have a certificate program for the public, you know, caregivers or people that know they're not the caregiver at some point.
Absolutely.
You know, we're here with Peggy Perkinson from the Center on Aging at the University of Hawaii. Peggy, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Peggy.
Last week I talked to you about having to write an article for the magazine. I'm going to hold you to that now.
Oh, I'd love to.
Okay.
Thank
Maybe
you.
I have to have your husband write one about housing. So,
cool.
It is a big issue. You know, my parents are still healthy, 86 and 88. They're on a cruise in the Caribbean somewhere right now.
Oh,
but
nice.
They're very active, but my mom's aging, has certainly have health issues. My dad still plays tennis 3 times a week, though.
Wow.
So we love to cover these kind of topics with you. We'd love to have you back on, maybe have your husband on a show about housing.
Oh, great. Thank you.
But Melissa, we got to run out of here. Anything else?
Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, and take care of your loved one. Aloha and live well. Bye-bye.